Good morning. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm your host today. I thank you for joining us this morning, and we have a lot to talk about today. We've got great guests today, so I'm very excited. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I am doing good. What is up? I mean, everybody's like sending the oogie boogie stories that it's supposed to have another freeze, fallen iguanas. What is going on?
Yeah, no. Remember when I said last week that winter's over? Winter's still over. We're not going to see any major freezes this weekend or the beginning of the week. Some parts of North Florida may see a touch of frost, but it's not going to stay. We're going to be back up into the 60s. By Monday afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, 60s, 50s and 60s, sunny weather. It's going to be nice. We need the rainfall. So this cold front's going to be bringing us in rainfall. So it's not a big deal. Some parts of Ocala, you know, just if you're right out there in the boondocks with those microclimates, you might see a little frost. But your plants should still be okay. If you haven't cut them back yet, they're not going to be affected because the dormancy, the brown leaves are going to protect them. And if you did cut them back, they really haven't started to grow. So, you know, you're not going to see that much damage. So everybody can just take a chill. We're fine. This is why we live in Florida. We don't have to shovel sunshine. Right. And so it's going to be just great. But I'm going to be talking. Our guest this morning is going to be Tom McCubbin. And he has seen many a freeze in Florida. So we're going to be asking him about it. And he's got, it's just going to be a great time. I love talking with Tom. So he is just the best. Today, if you are in Seminole County, the Seminole County Extension, the University of Florida, IFAS Extension, is putting on a expo today from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., lots of things going on. If you have children at home, if you want to get outside for a great day, then the Seminole County Expo is for you. They have, they're going to have museum. The museum's going to be open and talking. Children events, they're going to have scavenger hunts, coloring stations, all kinds of things for the children to do. Plus lots of speakers and talks going on today. You're going to be able to learn about bees, about vermiculture, which is using worms, growing worms, and native plant expos. And I will be doing a talk. I will be there. Come out and see me. 10:30 this morning, I will be doing a talk on landscape design. Great inspiration for you if you'll come out. And it's going to be a wonderful day. Plus, I think they have a plant sale going on, too.
Ooh,
so they'll be able to sell some plants. And so it'll be a great day all the way around. They'll have vendors out there. Lots of fun things to do. That's the Seminole County Expo at the Seminole County Extension Office in Sanford. That's at 250 West County Home Road in Sanford from 9 o'clock this morning till 3 p.m. this afternoon. You don't want to miss it. So come out and see me, and I would love to talk to you and meet you. Bring me some of your things that you'd like to talk about. If you have an issue going on in your yard, or you want me to give you some design tips by bringing a photograph of it, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, and the best photographs is you take at least two, if not three. One from far back, yes. And then one if you have a problem with something a little closer, and then a third one on that problem is just a little closer, but make sure it's kind of not fuzzy.
Thank you. Yeah, that is so good. So the weather this week, I don't want anyone to panic. Like I said, we're having a cold front come through tomorrow. We're going to get some much-needed rain. Remember, our cold fronts bring rain. And so starting today, rain in North Florida. Tomorrow, we're going to get rain in Central Florida and South Florida. You're going to be doing great. Tampa, you've got an 80% chance of rain tomorrow. No freezing for you, though. So North Florida is going to get highs in the 50s and 60s. Monday, it's going to be lows in the 30s. It's not going to last long. Back up in the 70s on Wednesday. Rain again for North Florida on Thursday. So that's going to be good. Central Florida, we have a 60% chance of rain tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. Highs are going to be in the 50s and lows in the high 30s. No freezing. Spotty areas, Ocala, you're going to have sunshine, highs in the 50s. Few areas may see 32 degrees, but it won't last long. And Tampa, no freezing, like I said. South Florida, beautiful weather all week. highs in the 60s and 70s. You can wear those knitted bikinis down there.
Oh.
A little bit, woolen bikinis there. Monday and Tuesday night, you're going to be in the 40s, but the rest of the week, it's going to be 60s at night, no rain. So it's just going to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful week ahead. And so we're going to, after our interview, Tom is coming on. I'm very excited to talk to him. He is such a good friend, but he also knows, he's got the experience of the world.
Oh, yes.
And so I am sure he is going to tell us about what he has seen and what he thinks is coming up. I'm interested in hearing that. And so he's going to be able to provide therapy for our freeze-damaged plants. He's going to be our landscapes. Because I've been getting a lot of requests. You know, people want to change out. They don't want to use tropicals anymore.
Okay.
No hibiscus. No hibiscus.
No. Don't be like that. Because it'll be all good. And the reason why is not only does Teresa and Tom know what they're saying, but you can take it from me who will totally mess things up. Okay. But I walked by my hibiscus and I did the Teresa scraping the trunk on my hibiscuses. I don't know if you'd call it a trunk, but whatever. And it was green. I was like, wow, look at that. It's ugly
it's
and brown,
recover.
But it was green underneath.
Yeah, and you're out in the boondocks, so you got really, really mm-hmm. super cold. So,
yes.
So that's good. What should you be planting this time of the year? We are going to come back, and we're going to tell you that. Tom is going to come right up. He's with us right now. I can't wait to talk to him. You're going to want to hear him from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. Joining us right now is Tom McCubbin. He was the host of Better Lawns and Gardens and still is for 34 years. He comes in and he is just such a help. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I am fine. I am in recovery stage now. All my plants are feeling better.
I'm so glad to hear that, Tom, because we have a little bit of a cold front coming through on Monday and everyone's starting to panic again. So, I mean, you have seen a lot. You've lived in Florida how long?
I've been here for 54 years, but I can go back to the 1835s. I know you just wanted an old-timer this morning to tell you more about these freezes.
Well,
thank goodness for Henry Swanson's book, Countdown for Agriculture. Back in 1835, they had ice across the lakes in Florida.
Wow, that's incredible. Oh, my goodness.
Is.
Oh, my goodness. And so Florida's seen these kind of winters before. We have them about every 10 to 15 years, sometimes 20. And so what can you say? Are we going to have another one like next year?
You know, I don't know. I go a little closer than you do. I go every 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through the 80s. That was the toughest. 83, 85, 89. And then in 2003, we had another one. So we've been fairly lucky. Last few years, maybe the last 5, maybe 7 or 8, we haven't had a really bad freeze. But, you know, we're going to get these every once in a while. So we kind of got to get used to them. I have.
Well, so should people plant tropical plants anymore? I'm getting that question. People are not wanting to use hibiscus and all kinds of, like, blue days, which I think is an annual, but salvias and things. What should they still be using tropicals?
Sure. My question to them is, why not? I mean, they're still colorful. Most years they're going to survive. Even this year, like Lizzie was saying, her hibiscus is still alive. It's going to come back. It's Mother Nature's way of doing a little pruning that we're scared to do.
Oh, that's a good thought, too. Yeah, because people don't like to cut back. And so this gives them the opportunity to do that, and they'll make their plants thicker and denser.
Yeah, I'd still plant them. I mean, I don't see why not. Next year might be a light year. It just kind of tells us what we have to be ready, prepared to do to protect some of these plants. So sometimes just a cover, that's all I used.
Right. And so what kind of damage did you see in your yard?
In my yard, the hibiscus was damaged, of course. The crotons were frozen way back. They'll probably come back. I remember, I think it was in 1983, where the croton froze to the ground, and I said, oh, it's a dead plant. I'll probably pull it out, but I left it. It took it till July to come back, but it came back. It was amazing. So the Trinettes, the Coca-Cola Trinette, was frozen way back. But, you know, it's going to come back. A lot of those tender-type plants, things that made it, believe it or not, bird of paradise. I did throw a trash can over top of them, and they came back okay. But those type of plants, crotons, trinettes, were pretty heavily damaged.
Well, is it all frost damage? Or, I mean, I know we had some winds coming through at 50, 55 miles per hour. Are we seeing any wind damage? Is any of this we're seeing?
You know, I don't think most of us wind damage, although where the covers blew up off of my bromeliads, for instance, I did get some damage. Bromeliads were amazing. I had some damage to them, but most of them made it through and we'll be back without any problem.
Okay, and so people that do have damaged bromeliads, what do you suggest they do with them? Cut them back or just throw them away?
You know, I think most of them will come back from the base without any problems. But you have the older plants that the tops are dead. You can cut off the old leaves if you want. It depends on how long you want to wait. I'll be honest with you. If you don't want to wait very long, hey, get new ones. I have a neighbor right now. They have bought in really nice looking crotons and some other tropical plants. They're ready to replant.
Wonderful, wonderful. So what do you advise people who have birds of paradise, the giant bird of paradise, the traveler's palms? What should they do with them?
You know, I think they're frozen way back. Once that bud in the top is gone, they could watch them for a while. They could either cut them back to the ground, and I think that's what you one of the things you suggest, and just wait for new shoots to come up from the base, because they will. Or they can just trim off the old dead foliage and see if the plants are able to survive. We're talking about the same things with bananas. I have bananas that I'm sure are frozen to the ground. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to wait for them. I'll just cut them back.
Yeah, bananas will recover. Yeah, I mean, they grow back fast. So what plant zone should Central Florida or for Floridians use? What zone should we use to gauge our plants?
I know the hardiness zones and newer schedules have moved some of us into 10. But I am thinking we are all still 9A and 9B, and mainly around the right heart of Central Florida, I think we're 9B, and that's where I'd stay.
That's what I totally agree with you. I certainly do. So now, does this landscape damage, does it affect the timing of when we should fertilize and how much to fertilize?
Well, we should probably wait until we see growth coming back. For instance, with the lawns, I'm just telling people, you know, no need to fertilize until you see growth coming back from the lawn or from the other shrubs. My guess is it's going to be the middle of March for the lawns in most areas. And a lot of the shrubs, believe it or not, a lot of the things are coming back right now. I have a lemon tree that I went down and I saw new buds coming out on it.
Wow.
And that one was in a semi-protected area. And lemons are, you know, normally very susceptible to cold.
Mm-hmm.
But this one here has made it through. Just the tips of it were damaged. And so I see new growth already. And if you got new growth, then I think you might as well go ahead and put down the fertilizer. You talk about this cold spell coming through. You probably want to wait until it comes through and see what happens, but it doesn't look like it's going to be that bad in most areas.
Right. That's what I'm hoping. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I made a prediction that winter was over last week.
Yeah, I predict winter is over also.
Thank you.
Doesn't mean we won't still have some of this chill. Normally right around Easter we get another chill and then it's over with.
Okay, so that's great news. So what about pre-emergence? Usually we put them down at the end of January, first part of February. Can pre-emergence still be used right now and then weed killers?
Yeah, I'd use pre-emergence now because the temperatures are warm enough that the crabgrass is going to be germinating very quickly. And my friends in the lawn care business who put out pesticides are watching to see when the crabgrass starts to germinate, but I think it's going to be germinating very soon. There's a lot of weed seeds out there that are already growing, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the regular weed control products, wait until you see some growing back of the weeds, you know, like the weed and feed type products,
mm-hmm.
although there's some that will give you some pre-emergence also. But if you're after the main growing weeds, wait until you just start to see them and then put it out.
Okay, that sounds great. So what's the most important thing for new Floridians? Because I think that's who's panicking the most, the ones that we've just gotten, the new residents from the last 2 to 3 years, 4 years, that have moved into the state. What's the most important thing for them to know?
Now, we're going to continue to get these freezes periodically, every 5 to 10 years, I say, maybe 15. But if you go through the history and you follow along Henry Swanson's book, Countdown for Agriculture, you can see every 5 to 10 years, there's a devastating freeze come through. And he was monitoring the citrus industry, but the same thing for the homeowner industry. And so I would go ahead and use the colorful, attractive plants. I'd still use them and just be ready to protect them or replant. Sometimes it's better just to have them killed back and start over again. But I wouldn't give up on the crotons and the plants of that nature, the tropicals. I have a ficus, for instance, in a container, one of the big ficus elasticas, and that was frozen back. But you know what? I see a new leaf already coming out at the base.
Wow, so that's great.
They're going to grow back.
What about palm trees, like the pygmy date palms and the queen palms? The foxtails got really hit.
The foxtails got hit hard. The Robolinis, pygmy date palms, are burnt back, but they're okay. I worry about the foxtails the most. I guess the Christmas palms, of course, are heavily damaged. But the foxtails may come back, and people want to know what to do about them. I just prune back the fronds that are damaged and sit and wait and see if that bud in the top. You know, it really depends on what happened to the bud. If the bud was damaged, it may not come back. But back in the early 80s, I saw queen palms killed back, and the tops would come out of them, and the bud would still be good, and they'd regrow. But they may want to be putting the copper fungicide on those to try to protect the new growth in the center.
Yeah, they planted queen palms all down Orange Avenue in Orlando, and they're all gone, so... They did it also in Howie in the Hills, and they're gone. So
it all depends on what happened to that bud in the top. And it can take a long time for that bud to come back out, so you don't know.
Right.
But my queen sago, for instance, is all burnt back. But I know it's going to survive, so I'll just cut the fronds off. The king sagos, I think, are all okay.
So what do you suggest? What are you planting this year for tomatoes? What are you putting down? Because I know you've already probably got them started growing.
Yeah, my tomatoes are up. I will have them ready for the garden in about a week or two, right after this cold spell goes through. And I like the cherry tomatoes. That's what we eat the most. And I grow Sweet Million. That is probably one of the better ones. Juliet is nice. Also, Sweet Treat. I've got one this year, Sugary, that I'm growing for the second year. That was pretty good. If I do have some Champion slicer tomatoes and Bella Rosa slicers, Better Boy is always a good pick also. So those are my favorites. You know, I overdo it. I think I have about 16 varieties out there right
now. Wow, that's pretty cool. That's great. Any peppers any peppers or any what other vegetables are growing?
I have a number of peppers. I have Better Bell. I have Park's Whopper. I think I have Aristotle, Star of the North, but they all do about the same. I guess if you had to pick the best, that has been the best performer, of course it has the most resistance, it'd be Better Bell, and that one was designed by Florida growers.
Excellent. I'm so glad. Well, thank you so much, Tom. I really do appreciate you coming on. It's always great to talk to you. And thank you. You're going to be sitting in for me whenever I go on these garden tours. And so you're going to be back every month for us for a while.
Yeah, I'll be back in April, I think it is.
Excellent.
But I'm looking forward to it. I have Lance Walheim, author of a new citrus book, going to be with me for an interview.
That is excellent. I'm so excited. I heard he was writing a new book, so I'm very, very excited. I can't wait to hear him. Thank you so much, Tom. You have a great weekend.
Okay, you have a great weekend, too. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. I love Tom. I love
him.
Me
too.
He is so great, and he just knows everything. And so I'm glad he's still hosting. So if it's Saturday morning, we're going to be taking your gardening questions, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm your garden expert, landscape designer, garden author, and garden tour guide. So we still have a couple of spots left on our revolutionary garden tour. And that is going to be very exciting for the 250th anniversary of the United States. We're going to go to some very historical gardens and just locations and spend a great time in seeing some private gardens in Colonial Williamsburg. So if you're interested in going with me on a tour and just geeking out at plants, we love to go walking through gardens. They inspire me so much. Even as a garden designer, I love to go walk through gardens and get inspiration. You can go to artandbloomgardentours.com, artandbloomgardentours.com. And our trips are filling up fast. We're going to London, the historic, iconic Chelsea Flower Show. And then also the Newport Flower Show, which is very exciting. It's the royalty of the United States where they lived and gardened, and their pleasure gardens. And then also Buffalo with a side trip to the Niagara Falls on the Canadian side.
Oh, wow.
Is very exciting. And then also, too, our trip to France, the Artiste Gardens of France, and then the Brandywine Valley, and then also for Halloween and for the fall, a trip to the Ethereal Gardens of New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to have a great time. So if you're interested in going with us, Art and Bloom Garden Tours. Now, what should you be planting this time of the year? Right now, you could be planting beans and cantaloupe. Start planting your corn, cucumbers and eggplants, luffah squash, peppers, pumpkins, summer squash, tomatoes, and watermelon. Get those all down right now. Herbs are the anise and basil, borage and chives, dill and fennel, lemon balm and mint, oregano and parsley and rosemary, sage, sweet marjoram, tarragon, and thyme. It is a great time to garden. This week it's going to be great, especially after the cold front comes through, brings us that rain. The landscape, the soil will be really prime to be planting this week. Now, we had a text message, 23680, if you'd like to text us. And it said, will using the weed killer preen used under bird feeders harm birds? And the chemical that is used in preen is called trifluorin. And when used according to the label, it is safe for pets and birds and even people. So it's not going to harm the birds at all. Always follow the label. And when they do studies like this on the the herbicides that we can use in the gardens, the insecticides, they always use it to what to the size of the insect. You would have to use so much. You'd have to have a pile of it in your yard before it even does any damage at all. So no, preen is very safe to use under bird feeders. So that's
follow
a great...
Follow the directions.
Always follow the directions. The label is the law. But also, too, it's just all you need to use. You don't want to waste your money. And it's safe when used according to the instructions.
Also, we had a caller call in, Marianne from Melbourne.
Uh-huh.
She was calling about her jacaranda tree.
Okay, beautiful tree. Jacarandas are beautiful.
Yeah, no leaves.
No leaves. Well, it's going to flush back out again. And so when she says tree, I'm assuming it's 8 to 10 to 12 feet tall.
Okay.
Okay, and so if it is, it's going to be just fine. It's going to start growing new leaves again. So she should look for that. It's not going to have been damaged.
Is this part? I mean, I just looked it up. Okay, I don't have 500 of these in my yard. I don't understand why
they're
beautiful,
aren't they?
I'm doing wrong with life because
yeah.
I love purple. But are they part of like a weeping willow family?
No, they're not the weeping willow. No, they're not jacarandas. They're a tropical tree.
Okay.
I don't know what family they're in. Off the top of my head.
That little sad weeping willow kind of looks.
Well,
I didn't know
they have a weeping canopy.
Oh,
yes. So
okay.
The canopy is a weeping. So you're correct about that. It kind of just, is just hangs down and it's just lovely. Hers should be just fine.
Yeah. Don't have a bunch of these in your yard. I just may come and put up camp and just stay there whenever they're blooming.
They are gorgeous. They're a great plant, but they're going to get hit when we get Central Florida is kind of at the outside of their scope. They are a tropical tree zoned for zone 10 and 11. 9 to 9B, like Tom and I think more Central Florida, they're going to get damaged, but they'll recover. So let's, so Mike in Venice, excuse me, I am having a little trouble this morning with my throat. Good morning, Teresa and Lizzie. Happy to hear the next cold wave is not going to be destructive like the last one. Nice to hear Tom's voice this morning. He was part of our Saturday morning routine for over 30 years, and he will continue to be Mike. I'm so pleased. I love working with Tom, and he was my boss at the University of Florida and at Extension for over 10 years, and so it's just he's a great man, and I look forward to it. And Henry Swanson, the gentleman he mentioned, the Swanson Auditorium in the Tiberias Lake or the Lake County Extension office. Yeah. Henry Swanson was a giant.
Oh yeah.
And he was a great man in the early 1940s, 50s here in Central Florida. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680.
Now, I did look because we Eileen had texted me, and I did look up on the Spectrum, the news. Mm-hmm. And they're saying for that area and the Polk City-ish area, they're going to have a freeze, a mild freeze. But they may have. So do they need to do any covering if they're going to
get that? If you've got something really tropical that was hit and you've cut it back and you think it's going to get that cold again, you can go ahead and cover it. Yeah, I would cover it if you're scared. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what happened to my tomatoes is that, you know, I had them on the porch. I had all the certain stuff up on the screen windows. Mm-hmm. Thought it was safe, and I came out, and they looked like someone took a candle and like melted up.
All over them.
My bell peppers, I had to pull them all out of the ground. I'm like, dadgummit, you know, but hey, yeah. So, yeah, better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry if you think you're getting cold. And so Eileen, she lives way out in the boondocks. Mm-hmm. So she lives out in the country.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, it might get down into 32. I don't think it's going to get colder than that, though. It's not, we're just not going to have this. I think it's going to be a bust. That's what I'm praying for.
Yes, definitely. It's not like the week before last.
No, exactly. No, well, and again, you know, this is Florida. It's 80 degrees one day, 25 the next day. So it's just really very bipolar. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
My top five today is my top five favorite spring flowers that will not fail. They are very, very successful in the Florida garden. Number five, salvia, black and blue salvia. This is Salvia goryantica, and it is gorgeous. It's tall. Gets to be about 2.5-3 feet tall. It looks gorgeous in the garden. Butterflies love it. Number four, whirling butterflies, Gara lindahammeri. And it is beautiful. I love the Siskiyou pink, the hot pink. It's a beautiful color. Great garden flower for your area. And it waves in the wind. It's just gorgeous. Number three, the old-fashioned pentas, also called ruby glow. These are the red peppers, pentas, that do not have any kind of hybridized white coloring in them. They're solid red. They get to be 3 to 5 feet tall. Butterflies love them. Hummingbirds love them. Number two is the rosy periwinkle. And this is the Catharansia rosea. Gorgeous plant. Takes the heat. Will grow out of a sidewalk concrete block. It is wonderful for Florida gardens. And again, butterflies love it. And my number one plant is the dune sunflower, beach sunflowers, Helianthus debilis. It is gorgeous in the garden and bright yellow flowers. The butterflies love it. So those are my top five spring flowers that will not fail. And they look great in your garden. Yellows and blues and pinks and reds.
Oh, yes.
It'll be gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. If you have a question, you can give us a call. 1-888-455-2967. or you can text 23680. Let's go to Rob in Christmas. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning. I am well. I'm really doing good. I've got some tomato plants that I've been babying, and I brought them inside during the freeze, and they're doing well. I even have a fruit set on them. But they're developing a white or a light green coating of some sort. I don't even know how to describe it.
Okay, well, it's powdery mildew. So where are they now? Where are they, inside or outside?
They're outside on the front porch.
Okay, so they're in the front porch. Okay, that's probably going to be one of the reasons why you're getting it, because powdery mildew is caused by a humidity and lack of air circulation. Okay, so inside the screen room, the air is still, and so they can develop a fungus. And so you need to spray them with a fungicide, but I would kind of suggest that you move them to the outside where they can get nice, good air.
I'm thinking about transplanting them into the garden now.
Sure. That'll be good. Spray it with a fungicide that's labeled for powdery mildew, and they should be just fine.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate it. Great question. So now, Nora from Oviedo, she says, my deep red crepe myrtle has lots of moss and air plants. Does it need something extra nutritionally? I'm manually removing what I can, but may not be able to reach higher limbs. Well, I'm thinking that you are near a lot of trees, okay? And so your crepe myrtle needs full sunlight, and if it's near an oak tree, or if your crepe myrtle's in a lot of shade, it is going to, you know, get these tillandsias, these air plants, and the moss on them. So I would just suggest that if it's possible, if you could move it, or trim back some of the trees in the area so it has more sunlight. But you can remove them manually. They're not a problem for the crepe myrtle, but it's a symptom that it's not getting enough sunlight and that it's too close to trees. And so the air circulation, again, is going to be an issue. So, yeah, manually remove them. You can spray them with a copper fungicide, and that copper will take out the moss and the air plants. But, they're not going to really damage it as long as it's healthy. So remove them, though, if you can. That'll be great. Let's go to Alan in Mount Verde. Good morning, Alan. How can I help you?
Good morning, Miss Teresa. I have a bone to pick with you as a native-born Floridian in the Claremont, Central Florida area at the age of 67. I grew up in third-generation citrus, and we never fertilized until, I know you won't find this hard to believe, after the Central Florida Fair left the neighborhood, because it could be wonderful, 80-degree temperatures in the week of Central Florida Fair. It rained, got near to freezing or freezing, and I have lived my life as do not plant until the weekend after Central Florida Fair, and I have never lost anything due to frost.
My garden
is all ready to go. Everything's going. I'm like, nope, you got two more weeks, then it goes in the ground, and I can sleep good at night, not having to worry about pulling in, pull it out, cover it up, uncover it.
There you go, Alan. I so appreciate you. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But, you know, people get antsy, and they want to do something. And
me.
So, you know, so, Lizzie's saying her. So, you know, I certainly agree with you. March 15th is usually the date of the last recorded freeze. So mid-March is it. But we can start to plant some of these plants and, keep them covered if they need to be. But I just don't think we're going to get a freeze in Claremont or here in this area in the next couple of weeks. I think we're good.
You mentioned two very special people to me. That's Tom McCubbin, and I happen to know Henry Swanson. My father grew up with him, and he's a very honorable man. And it's just, you couldn't have asked for a finer county agent than Henry Swanson, and knew everybody, treated you like you're first class, and it was fantastic to know him.
I so agree with you. He was a hero. He just was just stellar.
And I was happening to be down south as far as Stewart, and it's like, if you really want to see what to plant in your yard, you go down to West Palm Beach and Fort Pierce, and you look at the commercial nurseries, and you see everything that's brown, and you go, oh,
don't plant that in Central Florida, because if it didn't survive down there, it ain't going to survive up here.
Well, you know, so that's what I would tell people that, Alan. I so appreciate you. I'm saying, you know, we do get cold here. I've seen it get down to 18 degrees in Lake County, and the snow lay on the ground till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so, you know, people don't realize we do get that cold, but it's the shock of the cold. It's 80 degrees one day, like you said, and, you know, 25, 30 degrees the next day. The plants just don't know what to do.
You're doing a great job. I'm a longtime listener to Tom, and I've been listening to you whenever I can. And so keep up the good work. We have too many people who don't know what Florida is really about. And so you're doing a great job of educating them of what not to plant and when not to plant it. So,
Rob, thank you so much. You made my day. All right, Alan, I'm sorry. Alan, thank you for calling in. I love talking with you. Please call back again sometime. That's great.
Bye-bye.
I love talking to you know, Florida residents, and
Especially if anybody's done any type of agriculture, and they don't have to be professional, but if they've actually done their own stuff for quite a while and they've seen the changes, that does make sense.
Well, you know, when he was talking, all I was imagining was the miles, hundreds of miles of citrus groves through the Claremont area that you would just go
rolling
through.
Rolling
hills of citrus for hundreds of miles. And we don't have that anymore, and that is so sad. But Henry Swanson and Tom McCombe, they are just stellar. They just are the stars. And we're getting back there. We're growing our crops again. Agriculture is very big in Florida. And, you know, we supply the country with vegetables and flowers, tropical plants all throughout the country. And so Florida is still the greatest place to plant.
Yes.
And we do appreciate it. That was a great call.
I never thought about that. And that does make sense. If you are wanting to either redo your landscape or put in something brand new, this would be the time to go down to a couple counties down and check to see what's burnt up and be like, okay, maybe I didn't really need it.
I'm telling you, you know, we are zone 9. We will get a freeze every year. And people are planting those 10 and 11 tropical plants and like pygmy date palms. The villages had all these pygmy date palms. And I'm going, oh my goodness gracious. So here's what I say. If you want to have tropical plants, just don't buy expensive ones.
Okay.
Those four-headed pygmy date palms that cost $600,
ooh,
you're going to lose an investment. Buy the $35, you know, sago palm. Or, you know, not sagos, but the sagos and the pygmy date palms. Just buy a cheap one. That way, you know, if you lose it, you can replace it. It's not, you know, not a big deal. You know, call it your $75 annual. And if it dies, then you can just replace it. But don't spend a lot of money on them.
So you don't have anything in your hand that you can throw out the window when I'm fixing to ask you this, because we have a glass window between us. So if for some reason that my bulbs are still sitting in my fridge out in the garage,
you can go ahead and plant them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll bloom in a couple of weeks. They won't last as long, but they'll bloom because they'll be 80 degrees when they start to bloom. And so that'll kind of knock the wind out of them. But
I went to go pull the drawers in the garage, and I'm like, oh, man, these were supposed to go on the ground in November. I'm like, oh, man, Teresa's going to murder me.
No. Go ahead and put them in the ground now. They'll have a long winter chill. That will be great. And so we want to give Tom, thank you so much for calling in and helping us with our plans. We look forward to having him on all the time. And, we want to thank our sponsors, Black Cow, Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, Quality Green Specialist. Go get peach trees right now, peach and nectarines, all the deciduous trees you could be planting right now. They will do well in your garden. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
You can always go to betterlawns.com and recap anything that you may have missed. You can also check out Better Lawns and Gardens on Facebook and all your social medias.